I'll stand, turn to page 66. 66. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when he takes me on his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Then he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. We have a special tonight, don't we? Gavin Sanford, who happened to be my grandson's, going to play as a tune on his guitar. What are you going to play, Gavin? Amazing Grace. Yeah, what that was.
Hey, Gavin, what about singing that verse up at Forest? You're a good singer.
Sing it. is it, Sister Collins? What's
Rich Palm Baptist Church?
Okay.
Well, I'm real impressed, Gavin. You're doing good, so you just keep practicing and keep singing, and one day you can stand up here and really perform, okay? Okay. Well, again, it's good to be here. Hannah, good to see you tonight. Yeah? You feel like singing a song? Huh? Whatever you want to.
Anybody have something they want me to sing?
I don't know. I don't remember what it was you sang during our revival, but it was powerful.
Okay, I'll sing that one. I figured. Thought maybe we could mix it up. Will you come play for me? I'm sorry. I know you just got down there.
I
Thank you, Hannah. I'm real proud of that young lady. I really am. A lot of other young ladies and young men, too, as well. But really enjoyed the song. I'm going to give away now to Brother Samuel, and we want him to follow the Lord. And whenever he and his wife want to sing, if they want to sing before he preaches or after he preaches, that'll be fine. But he's no stranger here at Fairview Memorial. He's been here before. And while I was pastor over at New Bethel, he preached over there just about every year, I guess. So I love him. I love what he's doing, the good work that he's doing. And we want him to have liberty tonight. Brother Samuel, God bless you, brother.
Bless you, too. Good evening. And I thank the Lord for saving my soul. And I thank him for giving me the opportunity to serve him in his vineyard. And I thank Fairview Memorial Church for the opportunity. As Brother Moran is telling you, I've been following him everywhere he goes. And I thank God for his life. He has been a blessing and inspiration to me. When I first met Brother Bryson, the next person he introduced to me was Brother Moran. And I got some of his tapes and some preachings and teachings back in the year 1997. And I thank God that he is still serving the Lord and doing what the Lord wants him to do. And before I preach, I want Lydia to come and let us sing a chorus from the Bible in English and then in our language. And I want us to sing a song from the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter, and then the 12th verse. And this is what is written there. Saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. We will sing it in English and then we will sing it in our language. Lydia, team. Amen, blessing and glory. And honor, power and might belongs to our Lord forever and ever. Amen. 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 Blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might belongs to our Lord forever and ever. Amen. Power and might belongs to our Lord forever and ever. Amen. 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 Shirane enyunyam ninyansa nyasida ninide ne tumi. Amen. 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 So, as I was saying, I thank the Lord for the opportunity tonight to stand before you and preach the word of God. And tonight, I want to thank you for your prayers, your contribution to the work of Ghana. Mount Zion was the first work that started back in 1997. And now we have four churches that has come out of Mount Zion, and we have 10 missions going alongside with the churches. Mount Zion now has three missions, which we are trying to reach the people and preaching to them, teaching them, and directing them to know the Lord. And we thank God for your prayers, your contribution, your love offering, and everything that you have been sending to us. It is helping us to continue with the work of God. And may the Lord bless you. Tonight, I want us to consider our Lord Jesus Christ, who I consider as our Passover. Christ, our Passover. God, through his love, tried to deliver his people from bondage after they have gone to Egypt, not as slaves, but they were enslaved when a new king was on the scene. And then they spent about 430 years in that place. And when the time was up, God did whatever he could to deliver his people from the hands of Pharaoh. But he was hard-hearted. He doesn't want the people to go. And God has to do this last plague for him to drive the people of Israel back to the land that God has promised them. And this is what I will want us to consider and read and see what went on before these people were allowed to go out of the land of Egypt. And I want us to read from the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. And I want to read from the first verse to the 13th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the house be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto the house take according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts of the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and on living bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the perturance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire, and that shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be unto you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I know that this Passover is one of the important annual festivals instituted to commemorate God's grace in sparing the Jewish sons when he struck Egypt's homes with death. And as a symbol of redemption, this links to the shedding of blood, Passover, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also is our Lamb or our Passover, for he went to the cross to shed his blood to pay for our sins. And all the sins that the people have committed, he died to pay for our sins so that he will reconcile us back to his Father. And we can see from what I've read that the people of Israel were now being used as slaves in Egypt. That is what Pharaoh has made them. And this tells me and you that if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know God, then you will continue to sin. And sin will also make you a slave. You will do things that God doesn't like. You rebel, you transgress, you do so many iniquities against God, and that will enslave you and make you just like the people of Israel when they were in Egypt. So they were all sinners. And the book of Romans, the 3rd chapter, the 23rd verse, tells us that we all have sinned and have come short to the glory of God. So there is no difference between the Israelites, slaves in Egypt, and those who are now out of Christ, who are now without Jesus, and who are now still sinners. They are just the same. They are all slaves to sin. And I can also tell you that because they were sinning, they were under the condemnation. In the 12th verse, tells us that, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment." That means those who will not turn to Christ but will continue sinning, they are under condemnation. The book of Romans, the 8th chapter and the 1st verse tells us, "There is no therefore condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." If we come to him for him to save us, that means we have passed through death to life. He will not condemn us. He has saved us. He has delivered us. But those who will reject him, who will not come to him for him to save them, they are under his condemnation. And also, there's no way that they can escape. They will continue to suffer and be there if God has not come into their rescue. God has not gone there to deliver them, to save them, and to help them. So he is a means and a way to deliver the people from sin. And there should be a means of salvation to deliver them. And that means that God provided was a lamb which was to be slain. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I will typify him as a symbol of the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. I remember when John the Baptist, in his time, when he saw Jesus coming, he pointed to his disciples who were following him in the book of John, the 1st chapter and the 29th verse, that this is the lamb that takes away sin. This is the lamb, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes away sin. At first, there were sacrifices of goats and sheep at the end of every year. That is the Day of Atonement. But this sheep and goats, the blood that were shed or sacrificed, were not able to take away sin, but just covering sin. But this Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Deliverer, our Lamb, that was slain before the foundations of this world, is able to take away sin that we have committed. He will just take it, and you will not remember it anymore. So he is our Lamb that has been provided for us. And Moses instructed them to take a lamb, and that lamb should be without any blemish. That is, you have to take it on the 10th day, and you have to watch and feed the lamb until the 14th day for you to see and to know that it is perfect, it is not a sick or anything, but it is without any blemish. That is how the lamb that should be sacrificed for the Passover should be. And it is true that Jesus Christ, who is our lamb and our sacrificial lamb, came to this world. He was tried by the elders. He was tried by Caiaphas and Pilate, Plato and the other people, and they found no sin in him. He was holy and is holy and will continue to be holy. He was without blemish. There was none that was found in him. So he is set apart just like the lamb, so that they will try and test him. They have to see to it that the instructions that has been given will be followed to the latter. At the end of it all, the lamb is slaughtered. You have to take a basin, you pour the blood in it, and then you take a hyssop, and then you just paint your doors and windows for the Lord angel who will pass through the night and smite the Egyptian children. He will pass over those who are behind the blood. So that is what happened. So only behind the blood our people will be saved. You cannot be outside and not be smitten. You have to be in your house behind the blood, because the Bible tells us that when I see the blood, I will pass over. God will only recognize the blood that has been sacrificed to him, and the only blood that God accepts, the only sacrifice that he accepts, is the sacrifice of our Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So he told them, I will take nothing less than the blood. So just go behind the blood. If you are beside, if you are in front, if you are anywhere, he will not spare you. You have to be behind the blood. That is how God goes along with his things. He tells people what he wants us to do. He has told us that Christ is the only name that we can mention, that we can seek, that we can ask for him to save us. And people are using so many means. Instead of seeking the Lord till they find him, they are finding so many means to come to Christ or come to God without him. And Christ has warned us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall cometh unto his Father without him. You can't do that. But people are trying to use good things, going to church, paying money, or baptism, or doing so many good things, thinking that that will take them to heaven. That will not. Unless you humble yourself and come to the Lamb that has been slain for us, whose blood is precious, and ask him for him to forgive you. If you don't do that, there is no way that you can be saved. You have to go along with how God has designed his things. He has the way of salvation for each of us all. As he started with the people of Israel, the same way he is designed for us to be saved. There's no way. It is only one way through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is our Savior, our mediator between God and man. There's nothing that you can do by passing Jesus Christ. You have to go through him for you to be saved. So the lamb was slaughtered, the blood was drawn into the basin, and the people of Israel obeyed God, and they painted all their posts, the doors and the windows, with the blood. The Bible is telling us that nothing they could do but the blood will save them. When I see the blood, that is what God told them, and that is what they have to do. You can come to him with your spirit, feelings and other things, just like the preachers back home. Sometimes they will preach a very good message, but at the end of it all, they will ask the people, instead of seeking, to pray after them. And they will repeat prayers, and they will consider them saved, or they will pronounce them saved. After you have prayed after me, you are done. There's nothing more. You are saved. And the people will believe that they are saved. But I tell you, that is not how I acquire my salvation. I sought the Lord, and the Lord forgave me, and he delivered me from all the sins that I've committed. And I had my peace, which has been with me all the years until this time. That is what God has done for me. And I know that if you come to him, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins, and he will cleanse you from all our righteousness, all our sins. That is what Christ will do for you. People are trying to do things on their own. And I want to tell you that you can't save yourself. The people of Israel, they couldn't have delivered themselves. It took the Almighty God to come and rescue them and come and deliver them. And by delivering them, he made a way for them to follow. And when they followed it to the latter, then he brought them out from bondage. And that is what he wants us to do. God has assured us with his word that when he sees the blood, then he will pass over. Only the blood and nothing else. Amen. Is what God will just see and pass over. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter and the 22nd verse, that without the shedding of the blood, there will be no remission of sin. It is only the blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ for you and for me that can save you. So you have to come for him to wash you in his blood. And he is ready to do it. He is ready to do whatever he wants to do with you. It is a gift. That's the book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and the 8th verse, that God will only save us when we have faith in him, and it is through grace that he will save us when we have faith and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that you can do. He is ready, and he has done everything possible to make this salvation sure. So you have to come to him for him to save you. So the people of Israel, they obeyed God. They did all what they have to do. And at that same day, on that fateful day and night, the angel that was sent throughout the land did as God has instructed him. He killed all the firstborn sons of the people of Egypt. And all the firstborn sons of Israel were spared. Sometimes I will say that if God entrusts his people to you, in whatever way, you have to be very serious with them. You don't have to do whatever you want with them. I remember the Egyptians asked the people of Israel to throw their firstborns into the Nile. That is killing the sons of Israel. I think this is in retaliation of God against what they did to his people. You have killed my sons, then I need to kill yours. and show you that I am the Almighty God. He can do everything. So we have to trust him. We have to follow him. We have to obey him. We don't have to reject him as some people are doing. He is a God who loves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And he is our Passover lamb. So Christ, God instructed them to do that. And they did it. And true to his word, he passed over them and killed the sons of the Egyptians. So they were wailing, they were crying on every home on that day. And Pharaoh had to call Moses and told him that they can go. They have to leave his land. And when they were instructed to kill the animals, other things were asked to be done. They were to girdle their loins, their sandals, their staffs in their hand. They were to do it in haste because they were ready to leave that place. What I know is that all the people that God has wanted to save, when he tells them, he asks them to do it in the haste. I remember the book of Luke, when Jesus encountered Zacchaeus, when he tried to climb a sycamore tree because he was short in stature, he told him to calm down and then be instructed. He did that in haste. You have to come to Christ now in haste. You don't have to waste time anymore because there is time no more. Christ is coming soon, and you have to come to him, for today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God has made, has prepared for you, sinner friend, to turn to him, for him to save you. Don't delay it. Tomorrow never comes. You don't know what will come even between now and the night that you will sleep. Yeah. Christ can come anytime. He can come just as I'm speaking or as we are leaving this house. So you have to come to him in haste. You don't have to waste time. You don't have to postpone it. Christ is waiting for you to come to him, for him to save you and save you to the latter. He is ready to do it. Amen. Because there is coming judgment. God is going to judge everyone who rejected him. So if you don't want to be judged at the end of time, you have to turn to him now. Kiss the Son before the bad days come. You have to kiss the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to turn to him. You have to be his friend. You have to be his everything, because he is going to be our judge. For now, he is our Savior. When he sits on the day of judgment, there will be no, there's nothing that you can do. Whatever you want to do, you can do it now, because we have to die once, and after death, there is judgment. God is going to judge us. We are going to give an account of all that we've done with our persons. We are going to give an account to it, and it will be a happy thing for you to know the Lord, because when he comes back, he has promised that he is going to prepare a place for us, and when he finishes, he is coming back to take us home. All those who are his are going to be with him wherever he is. But the rest, he is going to put them at the lake of fire, as he has said in the book of Revelations, that all those whose names were not found in the Lamb's book of life will be thrown into the lake of fire. And I don't want you to go there. It is an awful place. You don't have to go there, because he loves you. That is why he has done everything for you. God told the people of Israel, this will be the first month when you go back and you go to the place where I'm taking you to. It should be your first month. And you don't have to forget about what I am doing for you. We don't have to forget all that Jesus does for us. He has been protecting us. He has been helping us. He has been guiding us. He has been providing for us. Whatever he does for us in secret, we have to tell others about it. When he saves your soul, you don't have to keep it. You should have to let others know what he has done for your soul. You don't have to keep it. He wants you to know that he loves you. We have to tell others about it. And that is what happened with the people of Israel. They have to tell their children when they ask them in the near future, why are you eating this Passover? Why are you doing this? And they should tell them the great deliverance that God gave to them when they were in the land of Egypt. That is what we have to do. When God saves us, we have to tell others about it. So many people are in this world, they don't know the love that God has shown to the world through the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made for us by going to the cross for us. We have sinned against God. We have done so many things against God. In the book of Leviticus, the 16th chapter and the 16th verse tells us that the people have transgressed. The people have done iniquity things. The people have sinned. Describing sin in so many ways, iniquities, transgression, and sin. That means we have done worse things. God has instructed us not to do so many things against each other. So if I do anything against a brother, it is God that I'm sinning against. But people don't know. They will just think, oh, I just did this to my sister or to my brother. But you are sinning against God. And God wants you to come so that he will forgive your sin and he will instruct you to love your neighbor as yourself. After loving God, who is your savior, then you will be able to love the rest of the brethren. We have to love one another. We have to tell others about the salvation plan that God has made for everybody, whoever will. God has thrown invitation from the beginning of the Bible to the end. And I always say, the one that I love and I cherish most is the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 28th verse. Come unto me, all ye that has labored, that has done everything possible and they are not getting through. Come to me and I will save you and I will give you rest. I will let you have the peace that passes all understanding. That is how Jesus Christ wants to do it. And he does all these things by the blood that he has shed for you and for me. So don't turn him away. Come to him. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him for him to deliver you from all this evil. And he will be happy to do it because you are the reason why he went to the cross. When he was going to the cross, you were on his mind. By that time, you have not even come to this world, but you were part of the thing that he did for the whole world. So you can come to him now. Amen. It is your time to come to him. If he is knocking at your door, if you are experiencing a kind of conviction that God is talking to you, then he wants to save you. You don't have to turn him away. God is a gentle God. Unlike Satan, who just bag on you and come wherever he's not invited, God wants to be invited. He is knocking at your door. He has been knocking for so many times. He wants you to admit him. He wants you to ask him to come in so that he will cleanse all the rot. He will clean everything and will bring the good things, the peaceful things, the lovely things in your heart for you to do as he has been instructed. That is what God wants us to do. So he is our Passover lamb. Amen. It is because of him that I'm standing before you. I'm also a sinner saved by his grace. I accepted the gift of salvation. It is free. He is not selling it. As he tells us in the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter and the 17th verse, he is asking us to come, whosoever will. That is what is written. And the spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is attest, come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. It is not sold. It has no price. It is a gift. You come to him and he will give it to you freely. Why are you refusing this precious gift? God wants to give it to you. That is the reason why he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. He is everything, the only Son, but he sent him to die on your seed. We have committed so many sins. We should have died, for the wages of sin is death. But Christ said, no, I don't want you to die. I will die on your seed so that you can come to me and let me save you so that you can reconcile with my Father and do whatever he wants you to do. At the end of time, I will reward you abundantly. So why don't we come to Christ and ask him to save us to his glory so that things will work well with us? I thank you for your time. I want at this time to turn the service back to Brother Moran, and may God bless you all. Amen.
We're glad and thankful for this good sermon tonight. This is a Baptist sermon, wasn't it? Amen, it was. And I enjoyed hearing Brother Samuel again. I know that you did as well. He gave an invitation for those who are lost to seek the Lord. And anybody tonight the Lord's dealing with, and you feel like you need to come pray, but don't put it off till another time. Just do it tonight. While we stand and sing, I want us to give Brother and Sister Cetria the hand of fellowship. And so let's stand together and shake hands with them.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptation lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Blessed Lord, I need thee. Oh, come, let my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, enjoy your pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Amen. All right. Anyone have a testimony tonight? tonight? Anything on your heart? Word from anyone?
Man, it's good to be here tonight. Thankful for Samuel and his wife coming over to preach the gospel to us.
Yes.
You know, I don't know how many miles separate the two places, but the message is the same.
Amen.
Here and there. And what the whole world needs to hear. Appreciate you, Samuel. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Wheat. All right. Anyone else with a word? Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Strode. Someone else? All right. Well, thank you for coming out tonight. And thank you for the offering for Brother Samuel. I don't know how much it is, but I know they'll use it in the right way. How many students you have in school over there, Brother Samuel? Now, 250? Okay. And they tell me Sister Lydia cooks a meal every day for the children over there. 250 kids, you know. And they do that because they love them.
Yeah.
They love their souls. And a lot of those children, I understand, are Muslim, of the Muslim faith, you know. And if it wasn't for what they're doing, those children may never hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So I really do appreciate what they're doing.
Amen.
I was talking with Brother Tony Day this week. I went to Lafayette for a funeral, and he and I were talking, and he was telling me about the good work that you all do over there. And, you know, it's just, it's encouraging, you know. And I'm thankful for you and your wife. And I'm glad you got to come with him this year. Is this your first time to come to the States?
Yeah.
All right. And I understand you saw some grandchildren you'd never seen before. Isn't that something? And so we're just glad and thankful to have them with us. Now, if all minds and hearts are free, remember the ladies' prayer Bible study tomorrow is over at our house. And directions are in the bulletin on how to get over there. And Mabel's thrilled to death and looking forward to seeing you ladies tomorrow. It's been nearly 2 weeks since she got hurt and has not been out, and she's getting tired of looking at me. She wants to look at somebody else. Right? All right. And then remember the other announcements too, let's pray for each other. All minds free. Brother Copas, dismiss us, please.